I believe it's safe for me to say, and it seems like a universal fact, that everybody loves to receive gifts or presents, right? Like, who wouldn't want to receive a gift or a present? And I think part of the reason is because there is much excitement that comes from seeing wrapped up presents and wondering what's inside and knowing that it is for you. I remember when I was in third grade, during like Christmas, I saw a lot of presents underneath the tree, opening it all up. Everything was Pokemon stuff, Pokemon trading cards, Pokemon coloring books. And that was one of the best memories that I had for Christmas. Then there was another Christmas where I had asked my dad for an Xbox. And back then, it was the original Xbox. It's not the Xbox 360 or Xbox One. So in the morning, what I found under the tree was a cardboard box with an X on it. Yes, and I know Christmas is not supposed to be about receiving presents, but actually, if you think about it, it is about receiving a gift, and that is the gift that God has given us, which is Jesus Christ. So whether the gift that we receive is from God, whether it's from our parents, or whether it's from a friend, we feel the love that comes with that gift. And I guess that's part of the reason why we all love receiving gifts. But did you know that there is another type of gift that we already received? And those are called spiritual gifts. What? Spiritual gifts? Are there more gifts that I don't know about? How do I get it? Where do I, how do I open it? Is it worth getting excited about just like other types of gifts? So I think as we approach today's passage, we'll see and we'll talk about what are spiritual gifts and we'll see how do we get them too. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to please take them out. And we're going to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Verse 1, this is Paul speaking. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we want to lift up our praises to you, knowing that you have done so much for us especially for sending your son to die on the cross for us. We thank you for your word and how it is true and how it is authoritative. And as we look into this passage, Father, I pray that you would give us wisdom. Help us understand what these spiritual gifts are that you have given us and how we are to use them. Lord, we come before you knowing that we're sinners, but yet you are a God who loves us and are willing to come speak to us. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So once again, this is Paul speaking, and he is addressing the Christians in the church of Corinth. And in this passage, the first thing he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." So likewise, if we do not know what spiritual gifts are, I would say that God also doesn't want you to be uninformed about what spiritual gifts are. And the fact that Paul mentions this first shows that there is something important about spiritual gifts. And not only that it's important, but maybe it's something that's even worth being excited about or being able to worth to use. But before Paul continues and talks about spiritual gifts, Paul needed to correct a misunderstanding that the Christians in Corinth had concerning the Holy Spirit. Let's read from verse 2 again. "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So these Christians in Corinth, before they were pagans, before they followed other gods and were led astray by idols, and they had this misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit. Paul tells them that no one who has the Holy Spirit can say Jesus is accursed. Meaning, no one who has the Holy Spirit in them can say that Jesus is not their Lord. And at the same time, no one can confess that Jesus is their God unless they have the Holy Spirit. So I know it sounds a little bit confusing, but I guess here are the implications that come out of that. It is only the Holy Spirit that works in someone's heart in order for them to confess or for them to admit that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. So we know that. It's not necessarily a choice that someone makes. Well, it is, but it's ultimately the Holy Spirit working in their heart. So Paul wanted them to understand that. And also, he wanted them to understand that they receive the Holy Spirit when they become a believer. So if you, right now, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. So Paul wanted to make sure that the Christians in Corinth understood this about the Holy Spirit. Now why? I guess we'll see later on as we go through this passage. So for the rest of this passage, I believe that there are three questions that this passage will help us answer. So first, number one, we're going to answer the question about what are spiritual gifts? Number two, we're also going to answer the question, who do we receive our spiritual gifts from? And then finally, number three, then we'll answer the question, why are we given spiritual gifts? Okay, one more time. Number one, what are spiritual gifts? Number two, who do we receive our spiritual gifts from? And finally, number three, why are we given spiritual gifts? So to answer our first question, let us continue to read from verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. So just by reading these verses alone, you notice that there's some parallelism that's going on. Look, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God. So there's some parallelism that's going on. It seems to suggest that gifts, service, and activities are similar, just as the Spirit, Lord, and God are similar. Actually, that's the Trinity right there. You have the Holy Spirit, you have Jesus as Lord, and you have God the Father. So this gives us insight as to what spiritual gifts are. Spiritual gifts is not something physical. It's not something that you can naturally touch or feel or have in your hand. But it has something to do related with service and activities. The Greek word that is translated into our English word gifts is charisma. And the root word of that is charis, which is grace. So that also shows that these spiritual gifts are given to us by grace, meaning that we don't deserve these spiritual gifts, we don't earn these spiritual gifts, but they're just given to us out of grace. Let us answer question number one. What are spiritual gifts? So spiritual gifts are abilities of service given by grace. Spiritual gifts are abilities of service given by grace. Now, I understand that this might not be the best definition, but I think it's the most simplest one. And I guess we can be able to come up with a better definition as we answer questions 2 and 3, too. Now, what are some examples of spiritual gifts, you may ask? If you look from verses 8 to 11, you see that Paul lists some of these spiritual gifts. And the spiritual gift of wisdom, knowledge, working miracles, prophecy, speaking in tongues. And I know some of these gifts may seem very controversial, or you may have some questions about them, but that's a whole different discussion, and I'll be glad to talk with you if you have any questions about that later. And there are other passages that also list spiritual gifts. If you look in Romans 12, 6 to 8, Ephesians 4, 11 to 12, and 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11, those are more lists of spiritual gifts. And you'll see spiritual gifts of administration, discernment, evangelism, teaching. Now, are all these lists comprehensive? Like, is this an exhaustive list of what all spiritual gifts are? I don't think so. I believe that there are more types of spiritual gifts that God can bestow on us. But for our purposes right now, just understand and know that there exist these spiritual gifts, and they are abilities of service that are given to us by grace. Now, seeing how there is a gift here, we always want to ask, who is the one who's giving us the gift? If someone gives you a gift, and like it's anonymous, wouldn't you want to know who that person gave it, who had given it to you? Maybe either to thank them or to be able to see how, what was the reason they gave the gift to you? So who gives us our spiritual gifts? Verse 6. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit. Verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit. And later on, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And in verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. So I think it seems kind of apparent, seems kind of obvious that the person who gives us our spiritual gifts is the Holy Spirit. Question number two, who do we receive our spiritual gifts from? And that is from the Holy Spirit. So this goes back to the reason why Paul needed to correct the Christians in Corinth about their understanding of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we said that no one who has a Holy Spirit can say that Jesus is not their Lord. So this also means that if they have accepted Christ as their Savior, it is necessary that they are already given the Holy Spirit. So because all of us have the Holy Spirit, if in fact we are believers, then it is necessary that we are already given spiritual gifts. That also shows that if we're not a believer, if we haven't accepted Christ as our Savior, then it is impossible for us to have the Holy Spirit, and it's impossible for us to have spiritual gifts. But as a believer, you might say, okay, if I'm supposed to have been already given spiritual gifts, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. How do I identify what they are? And how am I supposed to use them? And that's a very good question to have. But before we even get into about talking about that, I think it is important to understand, I guess, the purpose of why we're given these spiritual gifts. I mean, usually when people give us a gift, there is a reason for it. Say if it's your birthday or if it's Christmas, then usually people would give you a gift. Let's say that one day for your birthday, your parents decide to give you a gift. And you may be surprised, and they hand you this sort of rectangular shaped type of package, and it's like wrapped in like used newspaper. And then you get excited, and when you open it, you see that it's a big SAT book, because your parents want you to study the SATs. There's a reason, there's a purpose for them giving you that gift, even though it's your birthday. Maybe, let's say that your friend gives you like a new case for your phone, because they noticed that your old phone case was wearing out or doesn't look nice. I think some gifts may have some download implications, like if someone gives you a stick of deodorant, that sort of means like you. Anyways. But the main point stands here. There is a purpose behind gifts that are given. So what is God's purpose for giving us spiritual gifts? Read verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. As he wills. So God has a will for giving us these spiritual gifts and implies a purpose. What is the purpose? And we'll find that answer in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit is basically the use and the expression of these spiritual gifts. Now, what does the common good mean? The common good is a phrase that's translated from the Greek word symphero, which means to contribute, to help, or be profitable. So in this context, spiritual gifts are for the common good of what? Of the church. To contribute or help the church. Let's answer question number 3. Why are we given spiritual gifts? To serve and build up members of the church towards Christ. We're given spiritual gifts to serve and build up members of the church towards Christ. Ephesians 4:11-12, which, as you may notice, this is another list of spiritual gifts. It says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip saints for the work of ministry." What for? "For building up the body of Christ." In other words, for building up the church. This means that we're not given spiritual gifts for our own personal use, for our own personal benefit. You can't say, "Oh, hey, look at me. I have this spiritual gift, and I'm much better than all of you guys." Or you can't use a spiritual gift in a way where it only benefits you. That's not the reason God gave us those spiritual gifts. It's supposed to be used to build up the church. So let us review. First, in question number one, we asked, what are spiritual gifts? And we simply said that they are abilities of service which are given to us by grace. Number two, who do we receive our spiritual gifts from? We receive them from the Holy Spirit. And then finally, as we just talked about in number three, why are we given spiritual gifts? To serve and build up members of the church towards Christ. Now, let us return back to the question that many of you guys may have right now. Okay? If I know that I am a believer and I have the Holy Spirit, and I know that I'm supposed to have been already given some spiritual gifts, how do I know what are my spiritual gifts? How do I know how I'm supposed to use them? Well, I think the first thing that we need to do is pray. We need to pray to God and ask Him to reveal to us what spiritual gifts there are. And you can take a look once again at the spiritual gifts that are listed in the passages that I had mentioned. I think it's also good to ask yourself, what are you good at when you're serving at church? What do you enjoy doing? What particular burdens do you have when you're serving at church? And I think very often we'll also find that other people may help us confirm our spiritual gifts. They may point out and say to you, "I think you're good at doing this and that. I think God probably has given you this spiritual gift." So I think we can also help each other identify what our spiritual gifts are. Now I want to share a small testimony by this nice girl that I know. And I guess before, she didn't really know what her spiritual gifts are. And later on, she discovered that she has the spiritual gift of encouragement, or I think it's similar to the gift of exhortation in the Bible. So how did she discover it? I think there are other friends and families who had pointed out to her that she is always encouraging people when they're down, or encouraging them even in the positive times. And she decided to pray and ask God about it, and she finally got clarity over it. So now that she has identified this spiritual gift, okay, I have the spiritual gift of encouragement, she decides to use it in the church. Now, for example, in her college fellowship, she had written letters to help motivate some of the ministry leaders who were feeling very discouraged about ministry that was happening. She chose right Bible verses to help encourage them. And even at church, when the pastor and his wife was going through a very tough time, she also wrote to them and encouraged them. So it's not just written, but also verbally too. And you can see how God was pleased when she used her spiritual gift to help build one another up in the church. It's for the benefit of the whole church, and so that we can all grow closer to Christ. So I share that story with you as an encouragement for you all to make that attempt to try to identify what are your spiritual gifts. Now I have a tool that would help you. At the bottom of your handout, you see two URL links. www.spiritualgifttest.com/test/youth or /adult, depending on which one you are. So, you know, like, I guess when you're in high school, you have those online career tests where you answer a bunch of questions and then it'll say, oh, maybe you should go into this career or that career. I don't think that's, honestly, I don't think those are very accurate. But it's something similar to that. So there is this online test that you can take to, and you answer the questions and it'll give you some suggestions. Now, this test is not meant to say, okay, this is your spiritual gift, and this is what you're supposed to, this is how you're supposed to serve God with it. But rather, I think taking the test would be beneficial because the questions that they ask and the suggestions that they make will help you think and help you pray to God and ask and to be able to identify what are your spiritual gifts. So this is something I encourage you guys to do, and this can be your assignment for the next coming week. Next week, we're going to be having a joint service, but the week after, we're going to come back here and we're going to focus on how are we supposed to use our spiritual gifts in the church. So that will be in 2 weeks. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you have given us. You have given us our lives. You've given us family who loves us. You've given us this church. And as we had just seen from this passage today, we know that you also have given us spiritual gifts. Father, I pray that for those of us right now who may be confused, who may not know what their spiritual gifts are, I pray that you would give them clarity. As they pray to you, as they seek for you in your word, help them identify their spiritual gifts and help show them how they can use these spiritual gifts to serve in the church, to be able to glorify you and bring praise and honor to you. And Lord, in a sense, this is what we're all created to be. We're all created to love you, to worship you, to praise you. And we want to, and we desire for others in our lives to also see this. Whether we need to share the gospel with them, whether they are already believers and we want to continue to use our gifts to point them towards you. Father, you are a great and amazing God. We want to continue to thank you for this time of worship, and may you continue to be with us as we sing this this song, and may this song, may the words that we sing in this song be true in our hearts, Lord. Forever we will live for you. We lift these things in Jesus' name. Amen.